destiny is at your doorstep. The wave of the future originated in the ancient past. From Atlantis to Egypt and beyond, this sacred knowledge was passed in secret, not to be revealed until the world was ready. That time is now. Now is the time for you to know your destiny.
Hello, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp coming to you live from California. Welcome to the Mr. Destiny radio show. This is about your destiny tonight. It's about knowledge that may help you. And I'm here to serve you in whatever way I can. So please don't be afraid to call in and ask for something. We are going to have a presentation tonight, a couple special things. But first, I want to announce that some of you realized that the show was actually going to start tonight at 7, and shows in the future will begin at 7, starting next week. I basically forgot to announce it on my list. So starting next week, the shows will start at 7 o'clock, which will be nice. We get to start a little early, especially for those of you on the East Coast. Also, reading a story last week from the Mahabharata, and we're going to take a half an hour each night to read further in that story. We're not going to do it at the beginning of the show, but we're going to do it a bit later in the show. But I have it ready. And for those of you who were listening last week, you'll be able to follow along. But actually, you can just pick up anywhere, because the story is one of these stories that when you hear it from any point, it has a way of sort of bringing in a really high energies. I'm sure you'll experience this when you hear the story yourself. It's really an amazing, amazing story. So we'll do that a little later. We're going to have a brief introduction here, and I'm going to give a talk about transformation, something that I haven't written about, I don't think. I don't know how I missed it, but I haven't talked about it or written about it in a long time, if I have at all. So I hope you're all having a great day today. Today is November the 19th, and we are still in the Scorpio time of the year. And today's Scorpio birthday is an Ace of Clubs, and the ruling cards are the Five of Clubs and Five of Spades. And we have a couple of really beautiful women. Well, Meg Ryan was born today, and Jodie Foster was also born today. So it's interesting, you know, you'll find that Scorpio women are often thin, especially the blonde Scorpio women, which you'll find. And it's interesting because Scorpio is traditionally kind of a darker color, like there's a darkness because they're secretive. But you'll find a lot of blonde Scorpios. And when you find them, they're generally thin. Dick Cavett was born today. Indira Gandhi was born today. Larry King was born today, which we'll talk about that in a minute. Calvin Klein and Ted Turner. So we have a lot of really famous and powerful people born today. What's interesting about today is that it's an Ace of Clubs, but both ruling cards, there's two ruling cards for Scorpios, and both of them are fives. So people born today have a lot of the traits, even though they're an Ace of Clubs. They have a lot of traits of the five, which is restlessness and desire to travel a lot, and a sort of a discontent with things the way they are, and always seeking new experiences. And of course, with the Five of Clubs, we also have the difficulty with commitment and secret affairs. So we have a Five of Clubs ruling card, the main one. The Five of Spades is another ruler, both fives. But it's interesting because Larry King, I was thinking, you know, he's had so many wives. I don't even know how many wives he's had, but it's probably been at least five. And the Five of Clubs has a Five of Hearts with it, which can also indicate how many significant relationships there were in a person's life. So it's very interesting, this Ace of Clubs. And it's good tonight to talk about transformation, because Scorpio is a sign of transformation. and it's ruled by the planet Pluto. And in the deck of cards, the planet Pluto is represented by the Ace of Spades. You might have heard me talk about the Ace of Spades before. But when the Ace of Spades shows up in our yearly reading, or in a seven-year reading, or even a weekly reading, it can point to a time when we're going to go through a transformation of some sort. The Ace of Spades is a symbol, it's a seed, basically, and it symbolizes the death and rebirth process. We've been watching a lot of the Planet Earth series. I don't know if you've ever seen this. It's a new version of the series, which is narrated by Sigourney Weaver. And if you haven't seen this, it is just incredible. And they're playing the reruns of it right now, lately, I think on either the Science Channel or the Discovery Channel. But they're just the most incredible photography. And you really get a sense for, at least I do when I watch it, I really get a sense for how this Earth is just a big boiling pot of birth and death. You know, I mean, there's all the animals, and in the animal world, it's almost always who's eating who, which animal is eating which animal. There's a hierarchy, you know. Of course, there are a lot of vegetarian animals, too. They're eating plants. But there's always this, there's death and life hand in hand, side by side, everywhere you look. In the forest floor, there's decay, and there's growing out of that decay is mold and fungus, and there's insects living in there, and it's just teeming with life, but also death, right side by side. It's just, I don't know, I guess I never really thought about it as much or never really paid as much attention, but when you look at the Earth today, it's a place of life and death over and over and over and over again. That's what we're going through, and life is like that. And there are a lot of cards in the deck that will indicate times of death and rebirth. And so when we talk about transformation, we're talking about death and rebirth. We're talking about dying to something and then having a new beginning. So it's not just death, because any kind of death always leads to something new coming out of it. Transformation leads to a new being. The planet Pluto is often responsible for that. I remember I had just learned astrology for a few years when I became aware of where Pluto was, the planet Pluto transiting in my natal chart. And at that time, it was going through my second house of money. And where I happen to have Saturn and Neptune in the second house of money. So Pluto was coming very close to Saturn and Neptune. So during a period of about 2 years, with Pluto crossing over Saturn and Neptune, I made more money than I ever made in my entire life. I guess, you know, I came from a family where I grew up where I think the most money we ever saw was probably $3,000 or $4,000 at one time, you know. I remember my graduation year, my mother bought me a new Volkswagen. That was like $1,600 back then. And she got one, and my father got one. I think all three cars combined came to less than $5,000 because he'd gotten a bonus. So that's the family I came from. Well, while Pluto went through my second house, I think I had about $200,000 to $300,000 that I made in a short period of time. It was, for me, it was more money than anybody in my family had ever seen before. So it was huge. And this is what Pluto does. It blows up everything to the most extreme. So I made all this money, and then I had it, and I was married at the time, and I realized that I was extremely unhappy personally, because I guess I was real excited about the money. I made all the money, and then I realized after I had it that it didn't make me any happier. This money didn't really make me any happier. So it was just a short period after I had that sort of realization of how unhappy I was that I ended up buying this business with, and I had only bought real estate before then, but now I bought into a business which I knew nothing about. But I did it for the wrong reason. I did it just for money. And that business went completely down, and it drained all the money I had made over a period of about 12 to 14 months. And I went through a major death that year, a major transformation. This is what Pluto does. When Pluto comes along, it blows something all the way up to the full extent, and then it shows us what's there. And one thing I've learned about astrology is that when Pluto makes a transit in a chart, like you might have, let's say, something in your chart, two planets interacting in a certain way, and those two planets might tell you about a certain issue that you have. For example, I have Sun square Moon, and a lot of people have Sun square Moon. If you have Sun square Moon, you have an insecurity issue, okay? Well, if Pluto came along and crossed over the Sun or Moon in this situation, there would be some sort of events that would happen in that person's life that would absolutely end that issue in their life. In other words, it would be so powerful that after that transit was over, this person would no longer have that insecurity. And that would, it would be through a massive death and rebirth that Pluto would bring. That's how it works. So, and interesting, you know, Pluto is so slow moving because it's the farthest planet away. It's the smallest of all the planets. They don't even call it a planet anymore. They've declassified it, and yet it's still the most powerful body in the heavens. But it takes the longest time of all the planets to make a transit. So if it does make a transit in our chart, it's once in a lifetime. I was just reading for a client today. She didn't have Pluto making a transit, but she had Neptune making a transit across her Venus. And that will never happen to a lot of people. Most people will never experience Neptune crossing over their Venus in their lifetime because Neptune moves so slowly. And the same thing with Pluto. So when Pluto does make a transit in the chart, it may be, it's only going to happen one time in your whole life if it happens at all. And if it does happen, it's because it's part of your karma. You know, it was part of my karma to go through that period with money. I tell you what happened to me after that transit of Pluto. And after I'd made all this money and then lost it all, I felt like I was totally renewed. And I knew for certain that I would never, ever in my whole life work just for money. I would never be able to work just for money. My work would have to have some meaning to it. There wasn't enough meaning in work to do it just for the money. It changed my value system. Before that transit, I thought, well, money is, it's great just to have a lot of money. I should just go out and make as much money as I can. Well, after that, that was the end of that. That would never happen again. So this is the nature of transformation. If we have a complete transformation, it's a very difficult thing to go through for us in the process of the death time. But afterwards, we feel lighter. We feel like a huge weight is off of us. We're less encumbered by whatever was within us that was fighting in the wrong direction. And we feel reborn. We feel new. I remember after I lost all my money, I was so happy. I wasn't happy right away. I was happy at the end of it when I realized, you know, got myself back on track and realized, you know, I was so grateful for having a simple life as opposed to the really complicated life that I was having and the unhappy life that I was having with all this money but not really knowing what to do with it or why I had it, what was the point of it all. Transformation, death and rebirth. And of course, we're all here living in a body and, you know, watching the Discovery show, the Planet Earth series, it really brings home to me that our body has a cycle, just like everything else in nature. Everything in nature has a cycle. Everything from a blade of grass to a hummingbird to a snake, to a redwood tree. Every single living thing on this planet has built into it, in perhaps in its own DNA, a cycle. And this cycle is a cycle of birth, growth, maturity, decline, and death. It's a bell curve. You can look at it as a bell curve. It starts out slow, goes up real fast, kind of bells off in the center, goes along and slowly declines, and at, right at the end is a more fast decline. Sort of like the first part of life. It's so fit, quick. I remember a great guru once said that it takes us about 13 years from the time of birth to become sexually active, let's say. And then he said also that it's about 13 years after we cease being sexually active that we die, the physical body dies. It was very interesting. I never thought of it that way. You know, 13 years to get our sex, and then 13 years after we lose our sex, we go. So our body has a cycle, and that transformation, of course, is only going to happen once to us in this lifetime, but I am absolutely certain we're going to be back over and over and over again. So if you're looking at the cards, you know, I've told you about astrology. Pluto will be the main symbol for transformation. But again, Pluto is so slow moving that many of us won't even experience. You know, you might only experience one or two Plutos events in your whole life. It's even possible that you wouldn't experience any, really. But in the cards, there'll be transformations that appear way more frequently. And the things to look for would be, of course, the Ace of Spades, first and foremost, especially if that Ace of Spades is in a position that could, you know, would be powerful, like as a Pluto card, for example, or as a long-range card, maybe a displacement card, maybe the Saturn card, the Mars card. Also, the year that we have the pinnacle year, which is the year that we displace the Eight of Diamonds, you will always have a Pluto influence that year. There's always going to be a big transformation that year. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with the card system, I just thought, you know, maybe I should say, well, this information that I'm talking about now comes from my two books, The Cards of Your Destiny and Love Cards. So if you haven't clued in on that, go to my website, 7thunders.com, the number 7 and the word thunders.com. There's a bunch of information there. You can find out more about the books. You can order them there, or you can go down to your local bookstore and get them also. So we have transformation showing up as Ace of Spades for sure, but also Nine of Spades being such a strong ending, or any nine really in a certain position, could represent the death part of a transformation that results in a rebirth in us. And also maybe a Five of Spades in the right place, because Five of Spades, even though it's just a card of change, Spades is so strong that it could be a really, really significant change, which would be, again, would qualify as transformation. I remember we did a study of all of the astronauts who died in the Columbia spacecraft disaster, and we discovered that for most of them, they had prominent Five of Spades in their spreads at the time of their death. Interesting, huh? You would think it would be an Ace of Spades, Nine of Spades, but almost all of them had Five of Spades. So for them, it was a change that was so significant that it actually ended up being their death. Okay, so I don't know if you have any questions about transformation. Maybe when you call in later in the show, if you have a question, you feel free to ask that. I'll be happy to discuss that with you and hear about, maybe you could tell us about some of the transformations that you've had in your life, some of the significant ones that really made a difference for you, okay? We are going to take calls here in a few minutes. Usually around the top of the hour, we start opening up the phone lines for calls. Later in the show, I'm going to read more from the Mahabharata. I'll give a little bit of a review of what happened last week for those of you who might not have been here and missed the first part of the story. This is a long book, by the way. It could take us years to finish it because it's 17 volumes. It's like an encyclopedia. But I want to say one more thing before we take our break here. I was doing some research recently for a corporate client. Recently there was Forbes magazine published their list of billionaires. I guess the 500 most wealthy men in the world. And, you know, you have to be now, you can't be a millionaire anymore and make the Forbes 500 list. You have to be a billionaire, which means you have to have at least $1,000 million to make the list. But anyway, I was looking up the birthdays and of about 15 of these guys who were on the Forbes 500 list, and I found that about 80% of them had Pluto and Jupiter in aspect to each other, in a good aspect. So I had read before that Pluto and Jupiter together is the most powerful money aspect there is. And, of course, I already knew that Bill Gates had it. But I was amazed when I saw how many of these guys that I was reading, looking up their charts, how many of them had it. It was just amazing to me. People like some of the head guys in Google and Amazon.com and other people, Pluto, Jupiter conjunct, Pluto trine Jupiter. Okay, so it's like there almost every single time. Very interesting. And the reason I bring that up is because starting this Sunday, Pluto and Jupiter will be together in the heavens. You won't be able to see them together because Pluto you can't see with the naked eye, but they will be conjunct starting on Sunday, and that's going to go to the middle of December. So it's going to be a period of about 20 days that they're going to be conjunct in a real powerful way. And this is a time for you to consider starting a new business if you're going to. If you're thinking about starting a new business, you want to, if you do it with this transit in the chart, this aspect, in other words, you're going to get the benefit of potentially huge financial gain from that new business that you start, because the business will have that conjunction in its birth chart. So the business should do phenomenally well. So that's just a little hint for all of you out there. This only happens, Jupiter and Pluto conjunct, about once every 14 years or so, maybe even longer. I'll have to go and look and see exactly. But it's not that common. And when you have it, you take advantage of it if you can. Okay? All right. So we are going to take a short break right now. We're going to hear a song off my CD, which is called Bhakti Rock, is the CD. And I'd like to hear the song Krishna. And when we come back, we are going to take your call. So now is the time to call in. The lines are open. Feel free to call in. And when you come back, we'll take the first caller. Hope you guys are having a good night. This is Robert Camp. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp. I hope you enjoyed that song. We do have some people who've called in. So we're going to take a couple of, do a couple of answers and questions here. So let's see who's on the line. Do we have anybody there, Seth?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Hi, who's this?
Jenny.
Is this Jean?
Jenny.
Oh, Jenny. Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Good.
And where are you calling? City?
Salt Lake City, Utah.
So you obviously are not familiar with our system, are you, that we're using here?
I'm not. I'm a first-time listener.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So in the system that I do, it's really like astrology. It's actually intimately connected to astrology. Every day of the year is associated with one of the playing cards in the deck. And that card tells me about the person, and it also tells me what's happening this year of your life and this month of your life. So basically, you can ask me almost any question that you would ask an astrologer, and I can probably answer it.
That's great.
So why don't you let me know now what it is you're interested in knowing about?
Relocation.
You're thinking about moving?
Yeah, I'm packing.
You're packing. Oh, so you're already, you are definitely moving.
Oh, I'm moving, yeah.
So what's your question about moving then?
If you get any information on exactly when would be the best time to move, because I do have a little leeway in that.
What is the time range that you have to work with?
Probably 2 to 3 months.
Okay. Well, it looks to me like you're going to move. What I see is you're going to move between the 16th of December and February 7th. That's when you're going to move. And it'll be a good move. It's going to be okay. All right?
Great. I was actually going to move to San Diego. Does that seem okay with the cards?
Well, the cards don't say anything about location, but they do tell me that the move is going to be a good one.
Okay. Well,
so you don't have anything to worry about, really. I mean, this is actually a very good year for you. Now, the year in this system begins on your birthday. Okay? So your year is fairly young yet, but you have very good influences this year, and there's a lot of protection around you. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And I will say this, that one theme for you this year, you're born September 3rd, 57, right?
Yes.
One of the main themes this year that I would invite you to take a look at is this year is a lot about asking yourself, what do you really like and what do you really love?
Okay,
so it's time to get really clear. Like, is everything in your life things that you love? Are you doing it because you love it? Are people in your life because you love them? Everything, your work, do you love your work, whatever that is?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's all about what really makes you happy. That's the big question.
Okay.
And that's kind of like a year-long theme.
Hmm.
But other than that, I don't see really any problems here. I think this is going to be just a fine year for you.
Awesome.
I don't see any real challenges here. I mean, every year has some challenges, but I don't see anything of any, you know, special magnitude or anything.
Hmm. Okay. Well, then I'll keep packing and head out.
Yeah, just enjoy yourself. You know, it should be a good move. I don't see a real problem. It looks like you're going to make a new start next February, March. A new project's going to come in for you, a new idea, new work of some kind.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I appreciate you calling, Jenny. And if you want to find out more about this system and how it works, you might want to go to my website because there's a lot of free information there.
Okay.
And that's seventhunders.com.
Seven
the number
thunders.
Seven and the word thunders.com.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. I love getting people that are new to the system. That's always a lot of fun. So, Seth, I guess Gene, we lost Gene, I guess. So whoever's next, Andy, I assume?
Hi.
Hello?
Hi, yeah, that's me.
Is this Andy?
Yes.
Hi, Andy. So you're calling regarding somebody else.
Yeah, Liz, she was born on the September 28th, but she was born at 12:22 a.m., so I'm not sure what...
Where was she born?
Connecticut, Stamford, Connecticut. It's right next to New York City, or close.
Yeah. Do you know if they celebrate daylight savings time then?
I think they did, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember when. I'm going to check that out real quick while we hold on. So let me ask you a quick question while I check that out.
Uh-huh.
Why are you calling for somebody else?
Well, her father had a stroke, and she's worried that he's not going to pull through because he's also got cancer. And he fell. They think he had a hemorrhagic stroke, and he fell about a month ago. And
uh-huh.
What I'm seeing, he's February 10th, 1925. And I'm seeing an Ace of Spades and Saturn on his year, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know. She wants me to check out for
February 10th, 1925?
25, yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't see an Ace of Spades and Saturn anywhere.
You don't?
I don't know where you...
For this year?
February 10th, 1925?
Yeah, I think he's a two of spades, right?
Yeah, and he's 82 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so maybe I was looking at the wrong year.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, your friend, her name is Liz, right? By the way, she was born actually on the 27th.
Oh, really? Okay.
You can let her know that.
Okay.
Because she was born during daylight savings time.
Uh-huh.
And I checked it out to be sure.
Uh-huh.
And when you were born in daylight savings, you immediately subtract an hour from your time of birth to get to real time.
Uh-huh.
So her actual time was around 11:20 p.m.
Okay.
The previous day.
Right.
So if you're reading her, you would read for the 27th. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe you saw an Ace of Spades in her cards or something. But, you know,
I don't know.
You know, her father, everybody dies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're over 80 years old, it's a lot more likely that you're going to die. So, I mean, I can't say for sure. It doesn't look like he's going to die this year to me.
Uh-huh.
But if he really wants to, there's nothing to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, you know, for most people, except, you know, in special circumstances. In most cases, we know when we're going to die, and we kind of know when we're ready to go and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see him passing away right now, but it could still happen. The cards aren't showing it to be like, I see health challenges right now, but I don't see him passing away.
Okay.
So, but, you know, it might be good for Liz to, you know, make peace with the fact that he is going to die.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, since it's definitely going to happen, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a heart, right? She's a ten of hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
for hearts, relationship stuff like that is really difficult, more difficult
mm-hmm.
than other suits. But I don't see, I'm not sure. I don't think he's going to pass away that soon. But he will die, you know.
Oh, eventually, yeah.
Yeah, and he's 82. It could be any year, right? It could happen anytime.
Right.
So it might be good for her to, like, kind of, like, do whatever she's going to do with him while he's still alive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that she feels complete with him. That would be my,
mm-hmm.
If I was counseling her, that's what I would recommend.
Mm-hmm, right.
So what about you, Andy?
What about me?
Yeah, what about
you? Yeah, I think I've got a good year coming up.
Uh-huh. Coming up next year?
Next year, yeah.
Oh, you're really, like, way ahead. Are you trying to kind of skip this year or something?
Yeah.
You didn't really like this year so much, huh?
Not so much, no.
Well, how's your love life going?
I don't have one.
You don't have one? That's pretty good.
No.
You must be really good at avoiding it.
Yeah, I am.
It takes a lot of effort.
I guess.
No, it does. It's really hard to push it away like that.
Uh-huh.
You could be having a great year romantically if you were open to that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could be having a great
About next year?
What are you looking for next year?
Well, it says there's a King of Spades result and all.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with a King of Spades?
I have no idea.
But, you know, if you want to stay in the future, that's okay.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Well, I think you could be having a great love affair this year if you change your mind.
Well, why is that?
Because you have the influences for it.
Which are what?
The Queen of Hearts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know what that card is?
Yeah.
That's the sex card.
Oh, really?
That is the I'm having sex card.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, it's not happening. Sorry.
It's not happening because you won't let it. And I'm saying if you want to, you're only halfway through the year. If you want to, you can still have this happen. And it'll happen very easily if you allow it to.
Uh-huh.
Next year, you might meet a very powerful man. This looks like, this King of Spades that I see here looks like a powerful man.
Mm-hmm.
You might meet him this year before your birthday.
Okay.
See, these cards don't make us do anything. They represent opportunities. We always have the final say on what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing will happen without your permission. But if you take the cards as a guide, you'll see that what's there, if you try this, flowing with that, you'll find that your life will always be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
I'm glad you
called, Andy, and I hope things go well for I hope Liz can handle her father's passing when it happens. I'm sure she will.
All right. Okay, thanks very much.
All right, Liz. Andy, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, we have Jean, who was off the line. She's come back. So we'll go ahead and talk to Jean if she's still here.
Hi, Robert.
Hello, Jean. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm good. And have I spoken to you before?
No.
Okay, and where are you from?
Where am I from?
Yeah, where do you live right now?
South Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Is it getting cold up there yet?
It's starting to get chilly. We've had a little snow, but it didn't stay. Just a little dusting.
Hasn't quite hit yet.
And it's just teasing us.
I know it does get cold up there.
Yes, it gets very cold and very snowy.
Yeah. So are you familiar with my books?
No, I just started listening to you a couple weeks ago, so I haven't read any of your books yet.
Have you looked up your card at all? Do you know what your birthday is?
Well, I know when my birthday is.
I mean, do you know what card you are based on your birthday?
No.
Okay. Well, you're a Jack of Diamonds.
Okay.
So, what's on your mind this evening?
I just wondered how my finances look for the next couple of months.
Is there something special going on that would affect your finances?
Well, my husband's been trying to get a management position, and he's been waiting for an answer for a couple months, and he also checked another place for one, so we're just kind of waiting.
Okay. What is your husband's birthday, if you don't mind me asking?
7555.
Okay. I'm just taking a look here to see. Well, this is like a year when he was supposed to change jobs. He's supposed to change jobs this year. And you say he's looking at a management position, did you say?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it looks like he's going to get that, but not until, like, after December the 8th.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I want to say something. You're a Jack of Diamonds, and your husband is a Ten of Diamonds. So you have a very close connection. This is one of the strongest marriage connections. All right?
Okay.
What's interesting about it, though, is that you're the higher card. You're the Jack, and he's the Ten, right? So you
yes.
are the ruler. You are the leader of the relationship.
Yes.
You wear the pants in the family.
Yep, I do.
Uh-huh. So, you know, that's an interesting way. So basically what happens in the relationship is basically the plan that you set out for the two of you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I sell real estate. Do you see me selling some of my houses here soon?
Well, you're a Jack of Diamonds. You're the salesman card.
Okay, good, good.
Go to my website and do the free reading on there and type in your birthday. You'll see that it says the salesman card.
Okay, I'll do that.
You're good at selling. You're that's comes natural to you. Selling.
Yes, it does.
Now, I don't see any financial problems for you this year. I don't see any gigantic money coming in either. Either way, I don't see. It's like it's almost like not even a real big issue. Okay?
Okay.
So I don't think you really have anything to worry about financially. You might be a little worried now because nothing has showed up, but it's all going to take care of itself.
I figured everything's going to happen at once when it happens anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know exactly all the I don't know all the details of what's going on between you and your husband and what's happening individually, but, you know, whatever's happening is perfect for you and also perfect for him.
Yes,
and you're
it
each
is.
Kind of, it's happening to each of you in different ways, you know, different... It's affecting you in different ways. So I could see you like, this is for you, this year is very significant. It's called the rise up to the pinnacle year. So you're beginning a three-year cycle that began on this birthday. And in 3 years, it's going to reach a high point. So if you have plans for yourself of reaching a high point in your career, you need to be pushing forward all the next 3 years and thinking about how can I get this thing going bigger.
Okay.
Because in 3 years, you're going to reach the pinnacle, and you could be famous in your community by then.
Okay.
Research has shown that pinnacle years can bring a lot of fame and recognition to people. And then at that point, you'll stop doing real estate.
Okay.
Yeah, you will. As strange as it may sound. So I'll give you one more piece of information about this year, okay?
Okay.
Your long-range card, everybody has a card for the year that's the most, it's like the headline of the year, okay? It's called the long-range card. And your long-range card this year is a seven. It's a seven of clubs. And seven of clubs deals with the mind, and seven is the spiritual number. So it has a double meaning for you. First of all, it is a really good year for you to read spiritual books or to take in spiritual knowledge in any way, you know, TV or books or classes or whatever, okay?
Yes, I've been doing a lot of that.
Great. It's right on schedule. The other thing is that this Seven of Clubs is also about you learning to have a positive attitude in spite of what's going on around you.
Okay.
If you ever meet a Seven of Clubs person, you'll find that they get really negative a lot.
Okay.
You'll laugh at them, you know. You'll think, wow, why are you whining so much, and why is everything so bad all of a sudden? But that's how they are. And then they'll be really positive, but then they'll go back and forth. So you have it for 1 year, which means that you have to look at your attitudes, your mental attitudes, and go, how are my attitudes affecting what's going on around me? See?
Okay.
And the solution to the Seven of Clubs is always gratitude. Practicing gratitude.
Okay.
So,
yes, well, that all fits in.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yep.
The system is really amazing. You can actually learn to do these yourself. It's real easy. In my book called The Cards of Your Destiny, which is available in Barnes & Noble, and it's also on my website. So if you're interested, go there and check it out. I think you'll enjoy it.
I'll do that.
You can also look ahead in your husband's cards and your children, and you can like pry into people's personal affairs without them knowing it.
Well, I have a daughter that I take care of every day. She was hit by a drunk driver, and she's had a couple brain surgeries and some other surgeries, and so I spend my days over there taking care of her, and so I haven't been doing my regular job for quite a while. Carrie's been my job to do for now, and
yeah.
And so, you know, things got hard financially and such. And
what's her birthday, your daughter?
Her birthday is 11/2/81.
November 2nd?
Yes.
Okay, your daughter is also a diamond. She is a five of diamonds. She's
okay.
A saleswoman, too. She could be a saleswoman if she wanted to.
She could be what?
How old is she now? She's young?
She's 26.
Oh, okay. Well, she would be somebody also who would be really good at sales and business.
Yes, I think as soon as we can get her healed up,
she
can do that.
Yeah, I understand. It must be really hard. I mean.
Yeah, she's in so much pain all the time. She's working with some healers, and we're trying to get her off the pain pills and stuff. So
your husband's long range card this year is your daughter's card, the Five of Diamonds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So maybe there's something in it for him about her.
Do you see any traveling for me in the next couple months?
I see traveling. I don't see a strong travel thing until actually March.
March, okay.
Yeah. And that looks like some sale of real estate, too, at that time as well. Strong possibility.
Okay, good.
Strong possibility for that at that time. Well, Gina,
okay.
I appreciate you calling back and being patient. All of a sudden,
thank you, Robert.
There. Oh, okay. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much. You have a great evening.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, we normally take a break right here, but we do have somebody waiting on line three, and she's my first karma card, so I owe her. So I'm going to go ahead and take her call. Can you connect me with Ashley on line three?
Hello.
Hi, Ashley.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear
me? Hi, Robert. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I love the cards.
I'm sure. You're a three of diamonds.
They're fabulous.
You're one of the...
Oh, they are.
Have I told you that your card is the closest to this system?
The closest to what?
Your card has the closest connection to the card system.
No.
Yeah,
no, all, I just read it was one of the toughest cards in the system.
It is it's definitely a tough card to be, but the benefits, the real benefits of the Three of Diamonds, it comes on the spiritual level.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And you have the closest connection to this system because this system is represented by the Ace of Spades.
Uh-huh. Okay?
And if you look at your life spread, the first card in your life spread is the Ace of Spades.
Oh, my goodness. I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
how
why,
interesting.
That's why Three of Diamonds people, they pick this system up immediately. They understand it. They learn it really quickly. And it's just like second nature to them.
Oh, it is. I love it so much. And, you know, I bought your program, and I give it to people for their birthday gifts, their yearly forecast.
Uh-huh.
I cannot tell you how much they love it. Even the people who have no interest in this sort of thing, but, of course, they always are interested in their own life. So
yeah.
They read it, and they're like, I can't believe how accurate this is.
That's cool. Thanks for sharing.
It's amazing. I can't even tell you. It's just fabulous.
Well, I'm glad that you're sharing it with
your
friend.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course you can. That's why you're here.
I'm sorry?
Of course you can. That's why you're here.
My long-range card is the Five of Spades.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, my first thought is, I'm going to have to move. And I wouldn't mind if I, like, move to another state or something, but I just don't want to have to move, you know, for other reasons.
What kind of reasons?
Oh, like I can't afford it anymore or something.
Uh-huh.
To live where I live.
It's
a pretty nice place.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're already halfway through the year and you haven't moved yet.
Right.
So,
I know. I'm like, thank you.
Well, usually a five like that will make us feel discontent. It'll make us feel a certain amount of discontentment, you know, like...
Right.
Like, I'm really tired of the way things are in my life in some way. And it doesn't always mean a move. It doesn't always mean a move. See, spades can pertain to anything in life. It can pertain to, like, your lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
It can pertain to your job. It can pertain to, you know, how you live your life. How do you eat or how you exercise? Or it could even pertain to relationships. See?
Uh-huh. But
the Five of Spades would make somebody...
And I was fascinated.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was fascinated to hear you say to that the lady a couple of calls ago that she was had a romance on the horizon, but she said she hadn't had one in many years, and that's where I am. And while I'd like to have one, I never kind of meet anybody. You know, it's like, ooh, it's interesting. But here in my Jupiter period, it's a King of Hearts.
Yeah, you sure do got a King of Hearts. See, like, all these cards have meaning. All these cards have meaning in relationship to what we want and where we're going in our life.
Ooh.
So, like, you could have a millionaire's card in your spread, but if you're not in a business that could receive $1 million, it's not going to happen.
Right.
See?
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, I mean, I told that woman before that was on the earlier call, she's been avoiding relationship for a long time. And a lot of us do. We avoid it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we avoid it unconsciously. We don't even remember that the last time we were in love, we really got hurt or something, and we decided on some level not to have another relationship.
I mean, it's just a lot easier.
Yeah, then we go on for a few years and we go, well, how come I don't have a relationship? We forgot that we made our mind up about it a long time ago.
Uh-huh. I see.
Now, you know, Three of Diamonds is not the easiest
card. You have to change your state of mind.
Yeah, and your card is not the easiest. Your birthday, May 16th, is not the easiest birthday for a relationship, right?
No.
I mean, you know, first of all, you're a Three of Diamonds, so you have your own little pile of uncertainty about love and, you know, whether you, what do you like, what you don't like, and you understand? That's Three of Diamonds.
Right.
And then you're a Seven of Hearts, and Seven of Hearts has this thing about relationships, about letting go and not trying to control their partners. You understand? So there's, you know, we each have a little karmic plate of stuff that comes up, and some people, you know, they get burned. They go, well, this is not worth it anymore. I don't want to put the energy into this anymore. And, you know, but you can always go back if you really want to. There's always something to learn there in love and relationship. Are you still there? Because I can't hear you right now, Ashley. Are you still there? Hello? Maybe you're there because she came back all of a sudden, so I don't know what's going on. Maybe the phone system's having a little bit of a problem. But looking ahead, just to finish with Ashley, because I'm sure she's interested in things about love and so forth, the King of Hearts in Jupiter is not the strongest love thing because Jupiter is not a love period. However, she last July, she had an Eight of Hearts in Venus. Eight of Hearts in Venus is a very strong love influence, and she definitely could have met somebody back then if she had wanted to and had made herself available. And even now, with this King of Hearts in Jupiter, there is a possibility. And the possibility is that she would need to go out into a place where there's lots of people, like a dance class or a class of some kind or a church or some social gathering. Why do I say that? Because underlying the King of Hearts is a Ten of Hearts, and that's a social card. So if you really want to meet somebody, Ashley, get out there in a social arena. I heard you... So you're back again. I couldn't hear you there for a while.
Oh, I'm here, yeah. I kind of lost you because I changed phones, but I'm here.
Oh, that's what happened. Okay. Well, you'll have to listen to the recording of this later because I said a few things to you.
Okay.
And then you also have later in the year...
By the way, I think that's great to have the recording.
Yeah, we post those up a few days after the show. So
that's
also
fabulous.
If you don't meet somebody now, you have another opportunity in February and March of next year when you have an Ace of Hearts.
Oh, yay. Okay.
But you have to get out.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful talking to you.
You're welcome. But Ashley, you have to get out yourself. You have to get out and meet people.
Okay.
You can't sit in your house and expect to meet
Thank
somebody.
Thank you, Robert.
You're
Happy
welcome.
Happy holidays.
Okay, thank you, Ashley.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Bye-bye. Take care. Okay, that was fun. That was she's my karma card. She didn't. I didn't get to tell her about that part, but got a chance to pay some debts. So we're going to take a short break now. We do have somebody holding on line four, and we have two lines open. We have two and three open. So if you want to call in, you can call in anytime. When we come back from the break, we'll talk to Val, who's been waiting patiently on line four. On this break here, I'd like to hear the song Shiva, okay? And when we come back, we'll talk to Val. Be right back.
Shiva, Hare Shiva, Hare Shiva.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Camp. I hope you enjoyed that song, Shiva. Shiva is the god of destruction. In the Vedic system, he is the lord of death and destruction. He has like a snake in his hair and skulls around his neck. So it's appropriate for our talk tonight on transformation. Okay, well, we have Val, who's been waiting patiently on line four. Are you there, Val?
Yes, I am, Robert. How are you?
Great. How are you tonight?
Good.
So you're a hard-working queen of clubs.
I guess. That's what it says.
I bet you are, though.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, because you're also a Ten of Spades ruling card. You're September 12th,
yes.
Right, 1958. So
yes.
Anybody with a Ten of Spades ruler, man, they're always busy.
Yes, I am.
So, what's on your mind this evening?
Couple things. I have a house for sale, and I know some of my cards say that there's going to be a large amount of money changing hands.
Yeah.
But I'm also wondering, I'm thinking about also moving, but I don't specifically see any cards this year for a move.
Yeah. Well, you do have a 5 in Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a 5 in Saturn.
Okay.
So those are 5s of the cards we look for.
Okay.
You know. And 9s also can mean a move, too.
Okay.
You know, 9. Because a 9 means a completion, could be a completion at a certain place, you know.
Okay, now so, my... Okay.
Go ahead.
The 5 in Saturn, then, would that be a good move?
Well, Saturn is not usually the most fun time to do anything.
Right. I know.
So if you can avoid moving in Saturn,
okay.
That would be good. You know?
All right.
If you could arrange it so that your move happens in Jupiter,
mm-hmm.
That would be better.
Okay.
But, you know, even if it happens in Saturn, you don't have the worst influences there.
Okay.
It's not that bad.
All right.
It'll be difficult, but it won't be, you know, earth-shattering and bad or something like that.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And, you know, the Ten of Hot Diamonds result is something that could happen. It's hard to put a timing on that.
Okay.
Because it could happen any time in the year.
Right.
It usually happens towards the end. And
okay.
Really, when I look at your card, it looks to me like it's going to be in June of next year.
June of next year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you have a Jack of Spades there
mm-hmm.
with a 7 of Diamonds. Do you see
okay.
that?
Yes.
And 7 of Diamonds represents a lot of money, too. But what you don't know is that there's an underlying card underneath the Jack of Spades,
mm-hmm.
and it's the 10 of Diamonds.
Okay.
So that's what it looks like to
me. Okay, it looks like not until June of next year.
Yeah, I mean, that maybe will be when the money changes hands.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Is that helpful?
I have another question, too.
Sure.
I've been meeting a lot of people lately that are karma cards to me.
Yeah. Must be Ten of Diamonds.
Pardon me?
You're talking about Ten of Diamonds people, right?
Yes.
Because you know why I say that with such assurance? Because
no.
there's only 2 birthdays that have the Three of Hearts.
Okay.
Your other karma cards, so they're hard to find.
Okay. But my question is, some of them aren't birth cards, though. Some of them are planetary rulers.
Mm-hmm.
So, does that make a difference?
Not really. They still have that influence with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ten of Diamonds are the ones that owe you.
Okay. I just found it very strange that there have been 3 or 4 recently.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's interesting is that you have that card as your result card. And, you know, so it's in your cards this year. In a way, I think certain cards will show up in our life sometimes when there's an energy, you know, of that card in our own life.
Okay.
And then when a 10 diamond shows up, probably means you're going to come into some money.
Okay. That would be a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a good year. Enjoy it.
Thank you. I will.
Yeah. And thanks for being a guest and calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Good night. So the Queen of Clubs card that Val is has a Ten of Diamonds as their second karma card. So our second karma card gives to us, and this is the reason, the Ten of Diamonds' second karma card is the reason that Queen of Clubs are often so good in business. They just have a good business sense and a good business mind, and they often make a lot of money in business. And I know a lot of Queen of Clubs that are in real estate. I don't know why real estate, perhaps because that's where you can make a lot of money. Anyway, our next guest is Lisa calling from Colorado. Are you there, Lisa?
Yes, I'm here, Robert. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. I thought I should call since you didn't get to talk about your karma card earlier. I think I might be one of your karma cards.
Well, tell me your birthday.
5/23/63.
63. Okay. Well, actually, my karma cards are the Three of Diamonds and the Nine of Diamonds.
Oh, you're my karma card, I think, then.
No, I'm not your karma card either. Your karma cards are the King, the Queen of Hearts, and the Six of Diamonds.
Oh, okay. Boy, I'm
but no matter, we're well connected. It's nice to meet you.
It's good to meet you, too. Well, I was inspired by your talking about transformation earlier at the beginning of the show, and that's been up on my, you know, the top of my list lately, thinking about that. A year ago, my mother died suddenly, and it was very sad for me. I went into like a grieving for a long time and kind of went way inward. And now I've come through that time, and there's all these men appearing, which is kind of fun. I didn't know if that ever was going to come back, but so I had a few questions about that.
Nice to know you still have it, huh?
Yeah, no doubt. I thought...
Well, love is important to Nine of Clubs, you know.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, you're the only card in the deck that has the Two of Hearts in Venus in your life spread. And Two of Hearts is the Lover's card, you see.
Ah.
The Nine of Clubs aren't really... They get married, but they're not really interested in marriage. They're interested in that great love affair.
Uh-huh.
Do you understand?
I do.
Yeah.
And does that tie together with the endings part of the Nine of Clubs?
Well, no, it doesn't really relate to that so much.
No?
I mean, Nine of Clubs is, you're a double nine, too, because your ruling card, your second card is a Nine of Spades.
Oh, my.
You're a Nine of Clubs and a Nine of Spades. So, you know, you that part of it means that you have to give a lot in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've come here to give to a lot of people. Now, in the area of love and sex, you want to take, too, right?
Well, what goes around comes around, right?
Well, that's what we would hope.
Yeah, we would hope.
Nine of Clubs, you have as your first karma card, you have the Queen of Hearts. And the Queen of Hearts is the card of pleasure, the card of sex and pleasure. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So all Nine of Clubs people have this issue with sex and pleasure, too. And you combine that with the fact that there's a Two of Hearts in Venus, but there's also a Six of Hearts in Saturn. And you have a person that even though you're not a heart, there's a lot of heart energy in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So relationship is a big theme for you.
It is.
So the men are showing up.
Yeah.
That's good.
There was sort of a return appearance from somebody I almost started a relationship a couple of years ago. Actually, last year.
And what's his birthday?
November 9th. 59,
okay.
Jack of
okay.
Clubs.
Jack of Clubs, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And we just kind of started to get reacquainted, and then there appeared another younger man
mm-hmm.
who I have a really strong spiritual connection with from kirtan singing, and his birthday is March 10th, 78.
March 10th. He's a King of Diamonds?
Yeah, and here's where it got a little interesting to me is that was the same card as my mother. And we have this sort of mother kind of karmic kind of connection.
Well, your mother wasn't a Pisces, was she?
No, she was an Aries, April 8th.
Yeah, that's a lot different.
Ah, so there's a flavor to each of the...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But one thing for you is that King of Diamonds is a Jupiter card for you, you know. It is your lifetime Jupiter card, the King of Diamonds.
Oh.
And a lot of Nine of Clubs women are destined to be with the King of Diamonds at some point.
At some point in this lifetime?
At some point in their life, yeah.
Okay.
You know, and they almost always marry a diamond man. But I'm looking at your cards now, and, you know, there's a lot of love activity between now and your birthday.
Good.
Are you there?
I'm here.
And, you know, I don't think it's time yet for you to settle on one person.
Okay.
It's time for you just to kind of, you know, experience whatever's coming at you, whatever's being offered, but don't make any promises to anybody.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, because that was my hunch.
Because you're just now getting right back into it, and you don't really know enough yet to know who you are anymore. You've changed.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a big one, a really big one.
Yeah.
Which actually leads me to my second or third question. I lost track.
All right, go ahead.
So, in the book, Love Cards, under the Nine of Clubs, you're describing, you know, different things, and I think it said something like, I'll develop a gift of spiritual communication, which I'll find success with only after I pay a karmic debt, probably to my family. Does that sound kind of on? I don't have it with me right now.
Sometimes Nine of Clubs. Do you have any children?
No.
Well, sometimes they have children. See, Nine of Clubs are intensely interested in love affairs. But there's often some kind of challenge, like there could be family stuff going on, and that means their parents, whatever, or brothers and sisters, or it could also mean their own children.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
And see, there needs to be a balance. In most Nine of Clubs' life, there's a little bit too much emphasis on the love affair. So the situations will arrange themselves in their life whereby they will have to pay more attention to their family. You follow me?
I get you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
but, you know,
get a little bit out of balance. So
well, you're going to have, I can tell you this, Lisa, that next year, I'm talking a year, you know, 6 months from now, your next birthday, this next year is going to be a lot of relationships, and you're going to have a significant relationship then. You're going to be in a significant relationship by this time next year.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Where do you see that?
It's all over your card.
All over the place. Okay.
Yeah. You have a King of Hearts in Venus. You have a King of Hearts in Mars. You have a Six of Hearts long range. You have a Six of Hearts in Jupiter. You have a Six of Hearts in Saturn. You have all these hearts. And age 45 is a wish-fulfilling year, too, on top of it.
Oh, I remember you saying that a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I got pretty excited about that. That's good.
Your wish is going to come true. And you're going to have a man. The men that you meet this year will be basically warm-up exercises.
So I better get practicing, huh?
Yeah, you need to get some practice in, you know.
Yeah. Training wheels. Okay.
Yeah, go get a learner's permit, you know.
Right. Look out for obstacles in the road.
Exactly. Because, you know, you've changed and the situation around you has changed since the last time. So. So enjoy yourself and take your time, but don't get too serious with anybody, because the big one is yet to come.
And, so just within the year, next year, by this time next
year? Yeah, like I'm saying, by this time, by a year from now, you're going to be in a relationship. You're going to be committed to one person. I don't see that happening before then, though.
Okay, so I should concentrate on my work, which is in the communications field, and I work for myself.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's going well. Keep going.
Starting to pick up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of delighted and surprised.
I can see good things here. You know, your life is. It's what it is, but you're a club. You're here to share information with the world.
Yeah.
All right, Lisa. It was a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for being a guest tonight.
Thanks so much for everything, Robert. Love your books and love listening to you. So thank you for your work.
Oh, you're welcome. Come on my show anytime. So you're part of a kirtan group?
Yeah, there's a great one in Boulder. Bhakti Shakti does the music and...
Oh, cool.
Every Sunday night, it's just wonderful. Yeah, so I enjoy your music when you put it on. It just makes the show extra good.
Nice to know that we have kirtans in Colorado, because where I live now, I can't find a kirtan group. I have to go all the way to San Francisco, which is too far or something. So I kind of miss it.
Stretch, so.
Yeah,
yeah.
I miss it. Well,
yeah,
thanks again, Lisa.
Take care, Robert. Bye-bye.
Yeah, all right. Have a nice night. Okay, we do have someone waiting on line two. If we can, I think it's L. I guess that's the name.
Yes, it's L.
L. And what does L stand for?
It stands for angel.
Angel, okay.
Yes.
Are you an angel?
Yeah.
Okay,
all right. You can say that. Yeah, nice. Well, I just want to thank you for the information that you've been sharing. It's helped me a lot, and it's very therapeutic, too. You know, because it gives you understanding of what's going on.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Do you know your card and everything? Have you read my books at all?
Well, a long time, I've been following the Ten of Clubs. Born around midnight. So I was thinking maybe you can verify this, but I think that I'm pretty sure that it's the Jack of Clubs.
Where were you born?
Santa Monica, California.
Well, you weren't born during daylight savings time. So.
Well.
What is the time of your birth?
It was 12:14 midnight.
12:14 in the morning?
Yeah, midnight.
Of the
10th? Right after midnight.
Of the 10th?
Yeah, November 10th.
Okay. Okay, well, let me just do a quick check here. Let's see.
Because for the longest time, I was following the Ten of Clubs, but it seems like the Jack of Clubs is more accurate.
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to tell those two apart. You know why? The reason is because even the Ten of Clubs has a Jack as a karma card. So even Ten of Clubs act like a Jack somewhat, okay?
Okay.
So it's a little difficult to tell one from the other.
Okay.
Well, let me just see here. Hold on one second. I got to check. I'm looking up to see how far Santa Monica is from the standard meridian the time meridian that you're born under.
Okay.
But I have to grab my book for that. Hold on a second.
Okay.
And we'll get to the bottom of this mystery.
Okay. Thank you.
So you're still in the L.A. area now?
Yeah, I ended up moving back to the L.A. area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, 1 second here. Okay, Pacific is 120 degrees, and you're at 118 and a half. So you're 1 degree and a half east of the standard meridian, which means you would be, I believe it's 6 minutes later. Yeah, so you're still 10 o'clock. Sorry to tell you.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Because it seems like the Gen Club is more accurate. When I do the daily readings, it seems to be very accurate.
Well, you know, maybe they recorded your time of birth wrong, you know?
Well, I was in the hospital, and the birth certificate says 12:15 midnight or 12:14 in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but where you're born, you're not born. See, the standard meridian for the time zone you're in is really close to L.A. So it's not like you're really far off at the time that's being recorded. And it wasn't daylight savings time either, so there's no change there because of that, see? So.
Wow, that's interesting.
As far as I can tell, you're still at 10 o'clock.
Wow. I mean, is there a way to get a more in-depth reading on it, or just to double-check?
Well, I just checked.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, that's
all right,
that's about as in-depth as you can get. I mean, that's really the way you do it. You have to see how far are you from the standard meridian that you were born under.
So do you think that... I have similarities, or I still have a similar reading as the Jack of Clubs?
Well, you have Jack qualities because you're a Ten of Clubs.
Yeah.
You have Jack qualities. But you're also a Three of Hearts and a Three of Diamonds.
Oh, boy.
So let me ask you a couple questions. Are you married?
No, I was hoping to... You know, I had to... exit a major relationship recently, and now I'm looking for a more stable relationship because my life is unchangeable.
See, if you were a Jack of Clubs, you would be married right now.
I'd be married right now?
You would be married if you were a Jack of Clubs.
Oh, my God.
Because Ten of Clubs, see, they have the more of the freedom issues, you understand?
Yeah.
The Jack of Clubs, especially because that birthday, the Scorpio Jack of Clubs, both the ruling cards are twos, okay? Two of Clubs and Two of Spades. So that's a very, very strongly partnership-oriented birthday.
So is there a possibility for the Ten of Clubs to be married?
Anytime? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can get married. It's just that it's not as compelling for you as it is for a Jack. But you can definitely get married.
I mean, anytime soon.
Oh, anytime soon? Are we in a hurry here about getting married or something?
No, I'm not in a hurry. I'm just curious because I've been following this Jack all this time, and so now I'm wondering, like, what it looks like.
Well, I'm looking, okay, so here's a couple of things. Okay, right now, you just had a birthday, right?
Yeah.
And you have a Ten of Hearts and a Queen of Hearts right now. You could have a lot of fun right now if you wanted to.
Okay.
There would be a lot of men and social. You should be having social things. Going out and meeting people would be really fun. And there will be something. You'll have some kind of a quick thing with somebody, but nothing lasting. You understand?
Uh-huh. You're talking about this year.
But you have a lot of hearts this year, and you could actually get married this year before your next birthday if you really want to.
Hmm.
You could.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Because
okay.
Your result card is a Five of Hearts, and that can mean a change of your relationship status. But you have to first meet the right person.
I know, because lately there's been an illusion about a lot of men have been in and out, and I've been some kind of illusion with men.
Well,
I'll give you
one little hint, Elle, and that is when you see the kind of man that you have in your life, they are a mirror of where you're at right now. Okay? So use the cards and study them, and when you study them, you'll see where you're at. So, like, if you're attracting, guys that are not marriageable, that tells you that you're not marriageable right now.
Oh, wow.
Okay. If you're interested in those, if you're going to let those non-marriageable guys come in and have sex with you, that means you're not marriageable.
Hmm.
So that's a little litmus test. That's the way you can tell where you're at, by looking at who you're attracted to.
Right. Wow. Well, my heart, I've been falling on stable numbers, you know, to become more stable and more, you know, connected.
Sure. So, you know, just keep on. You're doing the right thing, but be more aware. And when you meet somebody and you see yourself really attracted to them, ask yourself, am I attracted to this guy? Is he a marriageable kind of guy, or is he just a fun-loving play guy?
All right.
And if he's a playboy and, you know, just here for now, you know that that's where you're at, too, for now.
Can I ask you this? What is the most stable, do you see most stable prospect for a career and employment?
Well, you know, the career question is probably the biggest question that all tenant clubs have.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I figured a lot out already. I know. I just want to know, like, in your opinion, what is the most what's the big potential?
It should be in the communications field.
Okay.
Either that or as a performer.
Mm-hmm.
You see. Either performing somehow or in some kind of communications field, like teaching or writing, that stuff.
Right.
Okay?
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay, Angel, thanks for being on my show.
Okay, thank you.
Have a nice evening.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was fun. We're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we have one more call. We're only going to take one more call because after that, I want to read some more of the story, the Mahabharata, the greatest story ever told. So what we're going to do is we're going to play the song Sita Ram. And then when we come back, we're going to talk to Andy from Washington, and then we're going to read from the Mahabharata. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you're having a nice evening. This is Robert Camp back with the Destiny Show, Mr. Destiny. We have one more person waiting patiently. Andy, are you there?
I am.
How are you, Andy?
I'm good. How are you?
And are you in Washington State or Washington, D.C.?
Washington State.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good. So you're not a...
I called in and talked to you, I don't know, six weeks ago, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what's going on, and what can I do for you tonight?
Well, I'm 2-4-61
yes.
born, and my husband is January 7th, 51.
Uh-huh.
And we have been tossing around moving for quite some time. And there seems to be a lot of stuff going on in both of our spreads in the next few years. But we're kind of wondering if anything looks good in the near future for us to be moving.
So you're both feeling like you think you should move soon, or?
Well, yeah, we almost moved last year, but things just kind of shifted on us quickly.
Okay. Okay, well, let me take a look real quick here. And I probably told you that you're the leader of the relationship when I talked to you before?
No, but I kind of gather that.
Okay, you're the boss. So it's really a lot about what you decide to do that's important, just so you know that, you know. It, basically, the responsibility for, you know, where you guys go and what you do falls mainly on you, okay?
Really? Doesn't feel like that a lot.
Well, it does. Anyway, let's get back to the point here at hand.
Okay.
I see very strong move influences in your husband's cards, and you both have a birthday coming up soon. So I'm looking at next year for both of you. I don't see anything happening until after your birthdays. And I look, and your husband's got a very strong five of spades and five of hearts this coming year. I don't see as much in your cards. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen, though, but there are some fives here in different places. It's stronger in your husband's cards.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, when I look at your cards, I see basically... So do you work too, or does he only work?
No, we both do.
You both work. Yeah, I see you like a lot about your career and your working stuff next year. For you.
Hmm.
And there are some fives, but not strongly positioned for you. Not like in his spread.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff going on in his spread.
Yeah, but these... Because you're married, you share karma now, you know, so if it's in one person's spread, it's enough.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we've been trying to come up with a plan for us both, and because this is supposed to be my purpose-finding year, I just realized it about 4 months ago. I've been really working on, you know, finding my purpose and exploring those issues so that I can work towards that. And we've been talking for a long time on doing something together business-wise and our own business. So we're
well, now that fits what I see going on for you this coming year.
Oh, good.
You know, you have a lot of twos, you do, which is, and there's a two of diamonds and a two of spades, and that certainly could mean you guys working together.
Yeah, we work very well together.
Yeah, I would
think so.
But
we want to do it for ourselves.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I have my own business now.
Yeah? Okay,
but
I see.
We want to do something away from my business, something totally just, you know, the two of us doing it in communications.
Okay, like computers or something?
Yeah, we kind of want to do motivational stuff.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I think you guys have the kind of energy that you could be successful at almost anything.
That's awesome.
I don't doubt that you can be successful.
Good.
It would be nice if you were both teachers.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what we were leaning towards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we thought, well, we're good with talking and helping other people figure out what they want. We're maybe not so good with ourselves, but we're working on it. So.
Well, yeah, you know, if you guys can align yourself with the same purpose, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, or just see, like, it'd be really good, you probably teach people the same thing, but you probably help people find their purpose, right?
Right. That's kind of what we're wanting to do.
So the first, you have to be the living examples of that. So, like, you know, a person's purpose can usually be distilled down to one sentence. And then out of that purpose can come a vision for specifically how it would manifest. But the purpose itself would be a little more universal than the specific vision that you would create. Do you understand?
Right.
So if you can see what your purpose is, and then if he can see what his purpose is, and then you can see how they would dovetail together, and from that together you could create a vision of a common project.
Right, and that's what we've done. So now it's just getting the.
Oh, good. So you guys are really clear on your purpose.
Right.
Oh, good. So it'll happen. I mean, you have a Six of Spades long range next year. That could be you doing your purpose. You know.
Yeah, that's exciting.
It's exciting because you're creating it from nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it didn't exist before. Now it's going to exist because you're going to make it exist. You're going to make it happen. That I find that to be very exciting myself.
Yeah, that is very exciting. So as far as the move part goes, maybe not, huh?
Well, it's there. I would tend to think that the... I think you're definitely going to move, basically. But I think the move would be determined a lot by what your purpose is, you know, like what your vision is. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Like frequently,
yeah.
Frequently our location, like when I think about where I live now, like, and where I was living, like I could pick a nice place that I'd like to live. But if my work said, if it was better for my purpose to be in a certain place, I would be there, no matter where it was. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's how I am about my purpose. And I think everybody who's got a purpose they really believe in, that's how they would be about it, you know. And it's sometimes nice to kind of let that be the guiding light, you see. Kind of takes all the questions out of it.
Yes. Like, we have some family in Ojai in California, and we have some pretty strong pulls in that direction.
Yeah, and Ojai is a happening place.
Yeah, we love it.
It's a spiritual hotbed down there. I have a lot of friends in Ojai, and I have a lot of students in Ojai who do the cards, and there's a lot of people there that are, you know, really conscious people.
My daughter-in-law is there, and Christina, she's great. She's the one that introduced me to the cards.
Oh, wow. What's her last name?
Moose.
I thought I might know her or something. I don't think I'd recognize that name, but that's okay.
I think you know her teacher. I'm not sure what her name is. I can't remember.
Is it Jai?
What's that?
Jai?
Oh, you know, I think it is. Yeah.
I know Jai very well. There's actually a couple ladies down in, there's a store down there that's really into the cards. I forget the name of the store. Off the top of my head, but they are, I mean, everybody in the store is really into the cards, and they sell reports.
Is that the Spiritual Garden Vortex?
I can't remember. It could be. Let me just I'm just looking through my database, thinking I could see it, but I don't actually see it here. It's not mystical visions. I'd have to look.
Soul-centered.
What's that? Soul, that's it.
Soul-centered?
That's it. Soul-centered.
Yeah, yeah. Christina's typing me online to tell me what it is.
Yay, Christina.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's listening. She's listening to the show tonight too.
Yeah.
Okay, great, cool. Yeah, anyway, I think you would enjoy it there for that reason. But you know, you might want to look at the astral cartography there yourself. Check it out for you and your husband. That's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
But usually, if you feel good in a place, usually it's because you have good influences there. You know.
Right.
But you can also just use your intuition, basically.
Yeah, we're pretty comfortable there.
Oh, good.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Good talking to you, Andy. I wish you
good
and your husband the best.
Again. Yes, thank you so much.
Very good. Okay, well, call back anytime.
All righty. Good night.
All right, take care. All right. Okay, well, that concludes our call-ins this evening. I hope you guys... learn some things from listening to the questions, and I bet a lot of you have had similar things going on in your life that you heard from some of the call-in people too. And the cards are helpful, aren't they? They really help us see what's going on and where we might be going and what we might be doing and where we should focus our energies. And it's really nice to hear like people like Andy who are, they're really applying it. They're going, okay, we need to find our purpose here. We got some sixes here. We got to find our purpose. Let's get with the program. Great to see that. Okay, well, I started reading from an ancient book, a story that's 5,000 years old, called the Mahabharata, last week. And we read basically from the very beginning of the story, and I'll just give you a recap, because I'm gonna continue with the story a little bit tonight before we end. And basically, this king... fell in love with this beautiful maiden named Ganga, and he was a great king, but she told him that, you know, I will marry you, but you can never question anything I do, which was fine at first. But when she became pregnant with their first son, and when she had the first son, she ran down to the river and threw the son in the river, and it drowned. And she did that 8 times in a row. And the king could not contain himself anymore, and he finally stopped her and said, "What are you doing?" This was King Shantanu, by the way. Well, it turns out, and Ganga tells him the story, is that they had been in the heavens, in the celestial regions before, and they had sort of had a desire for each other, and out of that desire for each other, they had to reincarnate. And she was the goddess Ganga, the river Ganga goddess, and he was just a great king in the heavens. But because of that one moment of desire, that caused them to have to reincarnate. And they had this chance to be together, and for about 10 years they were together, and they were able to consummate their love, but she had to go then at the end of that, after the ninth son was born. And she did not kill the ninth son because he stopped her. And the ninth son, she took him away, and about 10 years later, actually about 16 years later, she came back with this son that she had raised for King Shantanu and presented this son to him. And this son's name was Devarata. He's also named Gangeya, meaning the son of Ganga. So he was an incredible child, and he had been schooled by all the best. He had learned archery from the best warrior on the entire planet, a man who had single-handedly killed every warrior on the earth 19 times in a row by himself. And this is who Gangeya learned archery from. And he learned all of the ancient sciences from all the greatest teachers. And he was presented to the king. And now the king had a companion. He didn't have a wife And he still was very unhappy and sad about losing Ganga, but now he had a king. So, a son, I mean. So now the story picks up. It says here, 4 years passed. In the company of his son, the king passed many happy days. Shantanu doted on him, and Devrata, his son, was an ideal son. He was lost in his father. It seemed as though he wanted to make up to his father for all of his years of loneliness. They were inseparable. The king crowned his son as the heir apparent, which they called Yuvaraja in those days. Raja means king. Yuvaraja means the king, the one who will be king. The people were delirious with joy, all the people in the kingdom. Fate, all the while, was playing a waiting game. The sight... Anyway, I'm not going to say that line, actually. One day the king had gone out hunting. He was alone. As he was going along the river, he smelled a strange perfume. It was a perfume that he had never smelled before. It was overpowering with its sweetness. Picked by this strange, his interest was in a strange perfume. The king followed his nose, and he wanted to trace it to its source. He went on and on. At the end of his quest, he saw that the source was a woman. He had reached the banks of the river Yamuna, and there on the banks of the river, he saw a beautiful woman. She was in the act of tying up a boat. Her form was faultless. She was perfect. No other words could describe the beauty of her limbs, her face, her eyes. Her eyes were downcast now with shyness, as though she could not bear the intensity of the king's gaze. Her form was ill-concealed by the garb of the fisher girl that she was. Shantanu looked at her. He wanted her. He went near her and said, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" She spoke in a soft voice. She said, "I'm a fisher girl. My father is the king of the fishermen. It is my duty to ply the boat between the two banks of this river." The king went straight to the father of the girl and said, "I am Shantanu, the monarch of the race of the moon. I have come from the city Hastina. While I was hunting in the forest, a strange perfume teased me. I followed it to the banks of this river. There I saw a beautiful woman. She tells me she is your daughter. I want her for my wife." The king of the fishermen was profuse in his words of supplication. He said, "You are right, my lord. The perfume is part of my daughter, and it led you to her. In this entire world, there is no other person more fit to have my daughter than your noble self. To be a queen of the power of a monarch is the greatest honor that could befall a poor fisher girl. I am quite willing to give my daughter to you in marriage. But, Lord, there is a condition. If you are willing to grant that, my daughter is yours." The king was impatient. He said, "If it is possible to grant it, I certainly shall grant it on you your conditions, as you call it." The fisherman said, "It has been said that the son of my daughter will be heir to the throne of the king. If you promise to make the son born of her, the king of Hastina after you, I will give you her to you willingly." The king was speechless. He was thinking of Ganga, the day she brought his son, Devrata, to him, saying, "I present this hero to you. Take him to the home of heroes." The face of his beloved son came to his mind's eye, the son who he had crowned as the heir apparent. He thought of the bond of love that bound him to his son. Without a word, Shantanu returned to his chariot. With a heart full of pain and longing for the unattainable, the king returned to the city. Devrata found his father suddenly different. Gone were the happy days of perfect companionship. This new father would not talk to him even as he would usually talk to him. The prince tried his best to make him disclose the cause of his despondency, but his attempts were fruitless. The king lost interest in everything, even in hunting, his favorite pastime. At long last, the king spoke to Devrata one day. He said, "In this great house of Kurus, you are an only son. You are to me more than 100 sons put together. Nor am I keen on marrying again. But I am worried about the fact that you are an only son. It is like having one eye. God has granted you a long life. I know this. But my mind is clouded. The wise say that having only son is like having no son at all. You are a great warrior. If anything should happen to you in one of the wars, the great lineage of the Kurus will be without an heir. It will be destroyed. This has been the worry which is wreaking havoc in my mind. The prince stood silent for a moment, then he walked away without speaking a word. Devrata then went at once to the charioteer of the king. His intelligence had penetrated through the screen of words that his father had created. He accosted the charioteer in his direct manner. He said, "You are my father's friend and confidant. Tell me, who is this woman who has captured my father's heart? Tell me at once so that I can do the needful and make him happy." After much hesitation, the charioteer said, "My lord, the king may not approve of my telling you. The woman is the daughter of a fisherman. She has taken your father's heart. The king asked her father for the hand of his daughter in marriage. He refused to grant the king his wish unless he acceded to his condition that the son born of his daughter should be installed as king on the throne. Your father thought of you. Not being able to do the unthinkable, the king has returned here." Without even telling his father then, Devrata set out towards the forest. He reached the dwelling place of the fisherman. The woman whom his father loved was there near the bank of the Yamuna, tying up the boat. She looked at him and for a moment thought it was the king himself. Devrata saluted her and asked to be taken to the presence of her father. The fisherman greeted his guest with all respect due to him. Without any preamble, the prince spoke. "I hear that my father, the great monarch of Hastinapura, is smitten with love for your daughter. What else do you want? Do you think that you have not been honored enough when the king of the entire world comes to you asking you for a favor? You have, I heard, the audacity to refuse him his heart's desire." "My lord," said the fisherman, "I wanted a price. I know very well that a great honor has been conferred on me when your father wanted the hand of my daughter. But it has been predicted that the son of Satyavati, my daughter, will be a monarch. I know all about you. You're the crown prince, the Yuvaraja. The king dotes on you, and so he was silent when I stated to him my condition. He could not grant it to me. This is all that happened." A frown of annoyance passed across the face of Devrata. That his dear father should have wanted something and could not get it was a thing he could not imagine. He said, "You want your grandson to be the king after my father? So be it. I will renounce my claim to the throne. Now, are you satisfied?" The young prince, the hope of the world, amazed the fisherman by his words. A look of disbelief came to the eyes of the fisherman. He was dumbfounded at the casual manner in which this young prince renounced the throne. He smiled and said, "My lord, you are indeed a true prince. Your father's happiness means everything to you. In your nobleness, you have renounced the throne. But how can I be sure that your sons will be just as selfless as you are? What assurance have I that they will not contest the claims of Satyavati's son?" The prince was shocked at the extent of this man's cupidity. With a smile of contempt, he said, "Not satisfied yet? I will satisfy you. I will not marry. I vow before the denizens of heaven and earth and the nether regions, in the name of all that is dear and sacred to me, in the name of my guru, Bhagavan Bhargava, in the name of my mother, Ganga, in the name of Dharma, that I will never marry as long as I live. Now, are you really satisfied?" At that moment, flowers fell down At that moment, flowers rained down on the heavens, on the Devrata. The words Bhishma resounded from all quarters. Bhishma means terrible vow. And these words were spoken from the heavens and were heard everywhere. So terrible was the vow that he had taken. "Here she is," said the fisherman, "your mother." He brought Satyavati. He stood her before the prince. Devrata saluted her, placed her in his chariot, and rushed towards his hometown of Hastinapura. Devrata hastened to the presence of his father. He presented the young woman to him and said, "Father, I have brought her for you. Please take her and shake off this despondency. Please be happy, Father. The sky was still resounding with the cry, Bhishma, Bhishma. Shantanu heard everything that had happened. He was stricken with grief. Perhaps his conscience smote him. He could not bear to think of his son, so full of manliness, so beautiful, so divine, living a life of a permanent self-imposed celibacy. But the web once woven we cannot unweave. Shantanu had gotten his heart's desire. In his gratitude and his love for his son, he granted a boon to his beloved son. Now, I want to have a little aside here, just explain something. Shantanu, there's a thing called tapas, and tapas means accumulated spiritual power. And Devrata, Shantanu was a great king, and he had accumulated a lot of tapas. And in this act, even though it doesn't mention it here in this translation, he traded in all of his accumulated tapas to give his son this one boon, this one gift from the heavens. And the gift was that Devrata would only die when it pleased him. So in other words, death would have to wait for him. And he could not die until he said he was ready and wanted to die. In his own way, the king was trying to make up to his son for all that he had missed in life. The marriage between Shantanu and Satyaki was celebrated. Satyavati was celebrated. The king spent a few happy years with her. Two sons were born to them. They were named Chitrangada and Vichitravira. The years rolled by only too soon, and the king, now grown old, passed away in the course of time and was gathered to his forefathers. It was now evident that Devrata, better known as Bhishma, had to bear the burden of the kingdom. Poor Chitrangada was too young to be entrusted with the kingdom. Bhishma installed him as a Yuvaraja and acted as a regent for him. Bhishma spent several uneventful years in this manner. Nothing remarkable happened. But all of a sudden, tragedy struck like a thunderbolt. There was a Gandhava king named Chitrangada. He did not like the idea of a mortal having his name. He challenged the human Chitrangada to fight with him and prove himself to be worthy of his name. On the field of battle, there was a fight between the two Chitrangadas, and Shantanu's son was vanquished and killed. Bhishma was stricken with grief. He performed the coronation of the younger son of Satyavati. Again, the regency fell on the shoulders of Bhishma. He ruled the kingdom in the name of his brother. The people were very happy. Everyone was happy in Hastinapura under the rule of their uncrowned king, Bhishma. So the plot thickens. Bhishma now has taken the vow. Now you have to understand, Bhishma had never been with a woman, and he took a vow to never, not just to not marry, but to never be with a woman his entire life. His father then gave him the boon that death could only approach him with his permission. And essentially what this meant was is that Bhishma could never be defeated on the battlefield. It wasn't enough that he was already trained by the best there was, and he was, you know, one of the best warriors on the earth at that time. And these warriors in these times, they fought mainly with bows and arrows. And I'll tell more about that in a future episode, if we rule more. But here now, Bhishma, he's still the king, even though he's not the crown king. And there's still a young prince who hasn't grown up yet, who's going to grow up and at some point marry. But Bhishma's karma is not over. As a matter of fact, he's one of the characters that is a constant throughout this entire story, which gets very, very involved later on. So it's a lot, in a way, this whole story is a lot about him, but there are some other major players that come into the scene who have very distinctive roles to play in this period of time just before the beginning of the Dark Age of the Kali Yuga. This was the Dwapara Yuga, the ending of the Dwapara Yuga. Okay, so we're going to end for tonight. We're going to play the song Gayatri to end, as we always do. I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. Remember that next week we're going to start at 7 o'clock So be here a little early. I'll send that out as an announcement so everybody gets it. And I hope to see you then. This is Robert Lee Camp saying good night and God bless.
Oh, Hi, everybody out there. This is Xenia Seberg. And who are you? Because I'm there no matter where you are. Because this is Dr. Fred Bell's show on BBS Radio.
Health, Science, and Energy show on BBSRadio.com.
We'll make you sound better than you sound right now.
Well, that's a good thing. For me, it's like midnight here. I'm going to bed, which doesn't matter to you guys. Aren't you ready? Stay tuned.